back to the hard line. Enter at your own risk.
Tears in your eyes. I called your cell phone, my love, but you did not reply. The world is ours. If you want it, we can take it. If you just take my hand, then don't turn back now. Baby, try to wonder.
It's Hardline 5 9 the Fan, KFNS. And 5minutefan.com, Demi Lovato for the win, boys and girls, on a Friday afternoon. Hey, let's tell you about our friends over at Royal Banks of Missouri. Royal Banks, as you guys well know, were a key component in making sure the Blues' new practice facility was financed. Thanks to them, that was all able to get done. And thanks to them, that will be opening. I believe it's on track for September. 4 new sheets of ice. It's going to be spectacular. Really, really good stuff. So make sure you support our friends as they support our community here in St. Louis. They're a full-service bank with 11 neighborhood locations. They have full mobile banking, a full commercial lending department. Really, really, really good stuff. Also, as Bob Ramsey talks about all the time, they have a home equity line of credit, and they can call. You can call the terrific home equity lender, Carol Hoffer, at 314-212-1500. Get yourself on board. That is royalbanksofmo.com, 314-212-1500. Royal Banks of Missouri, where better service means better banking. Member FDIC and equal housing lender. Before we get to John's quick thoughts, because we do have to save most of the last hour for Game of Thrones, before we get to John's quick thoughts on the Cubs, I want to give you guys an update on what's been kind of a peculiar case, and that is former Missouri defensive line coach Craig Kuligowski. A lot of you guys have asked me about him. A lot of people were very upset that he did not become the defensive coordinator for Barry Odom and that he did not stay around. As you guys well know, the defensive line coach at Missouri has pumped out some of the very best defensive linemen in America over the last decade or so. And he had some ties to Nick Saban when they were at Toledo. He played for him and all that. So a lot of ties there. When he was at Missouri, he coached that he pulled big names that didn't turn out. Brian Coulter was a five-star kid that came, transferred from Florida State, came to Missouri specifically because of Craig Kuligowski. Obviously, he developed Alden Smith, Shane Ray, Marcus Golden, Michael Sam, Coney Ealy. You know, the list goes on and on. I'm missing a ton of guys. Sheldon Richardson. There are a ton of great defensive linemen that all came under his watch there. So he left when Barry Odom became head coach. You know, a lot of you guys asked for the story behind that. Bottom line is he left and went down to Miami under Mark Richt. Miami had one of the best pressure defensive line presences in all of college football. They were spectacular. Well, Nick Saban came calling, and while he was not the official defensive line coach, he came in as a I actually do believe he was a defensive line coach in 2018. And so what's weird is Alabama never announced his firing nor his departure at all. And right now he is getting 12 different severance checks of $62,000 that adds up to a $750,000 salary that he was due to make this year. And they brought in a different coach to do the job. But a very, very strange ending there. He arrived in January of 2018, signed a two-year deal. He's going to be paid $1.16 million by Alabama. And nothing's ever really come of it. Nobody knows why he was departing in the first place. And everybody says, you know, a guy with that much talent, why hasn't he been coaching? Well, you can see the buyouts, it's $750,000. That's why you're not coaching, because the offset and the reason Alabama typically doesn't even talk about this stuff is somebody goes and gets another job, they don't have to pay it out. In this case, he's not going to find another job for it's a defensive line coach does not make $750,000 anywhere. Going back, I think now, finally, Missouri's defensive coordinator is making more money than that. For DeMonte Cross, when he came to Missouri, he was making $600,000. For years, they were making about $400,000. When I was there, the offensive and defensive coordinator were making $400,000. Okay, so we're talking coordinators. Cam would like to come in. We're talking coordinators here versus just the defensive line coach. He's making $750,000 this year, And so that is likely why he has not taken a job elsewhere.
Doesn't have to grind film or do anything.
Yeah.
It's not just about not only being able to make, making less. Don't have to do anything and get $750,000.
Yeah, he was at
take your vacation, spend your time with some kids, spend some time with your kids if you got them. Chill out.
He was at Mizzou for 15 years, coached five first round draft picks. So that's Shane Ray, Sheldon Richardson, Alden Smith, and I'm missing two others because Marcus Golden was a second rounder, so was Coney Ealy.
Alden Smith.
But Charles Harris.
Yeah, Charles Harris.
Hads, who's the other
Ziggy Hood.
Ziggy Hood, that's right. Yeah,
and then some late round guys who made it to the NFL and played. Jacques Smith made it.
Stryker Sulak.
Stryker Sulak made it for a couple years too.
Yeah.
I mean, he's there. The guy was good. He's turning out talent.
And they didn't even mention here Michael Sam, who was the SEC Defense Player of the Year. Right. Mm-hmm. So a lot of draft picks, a lot of guys that did a lot of really good stuff there. So interesting case there. Just to update you guys on all of that. That the reason he has not grabbed another job is likely because of the money. However, I have no idea why he has gone from Alabama in the first place. That I cannot tell you. Very weird departure, wasn't announced at all. Hads, I know this is kind of an Alabama way to go about things, but is this peculiar to you as well?
Yeah, in fact, the only time I've ever seen anything like this happen in Alabama was either an infraction or a personal issue.
Interesting. Yeah. Because we know his coaching talent. Now, perhaps he and Saban didn't get along, but I'm with you. That neither did Lane Kiffin, and they kept him around for quite a while. When you have talent as a coach, you find a way to make that work. No. So
Nick Saban has never hidden certain issues that he's had with players or coaches. But if you're truly talented and one of the best at what you do, you stay around.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Jimmy Johnson, it's like Jimmy Johnson once said, I'm not putting up with crap from anybody unless they're going to help me win.
Right. Yep. That's exactly it. So anyway, there you go. Just an update on all that for you. And another Mizzou related update. Drew Locke did get his number 3. So that's what he will be wearing there in Denver. For whatever reason, people have asked me about that. So there you go. Real quick, Hads, before we get into Game of Thrones, give us your 2-minute opinion on the ridiculousness that Theo Epstein suspended a Cubs fan for throwing down the OK sign on national television.
Well, I don't know. It's just reached a point in time in this world where it's just, everything's just so ridiculous. It's just like, honest to God, people always thought, I don't wish I was 20 again because I would not want to grow up in this world as it is today. I mean, it's so pathetic, so embarrassing, that the thing I find to be I find it humorous that basically if you're a white male, you can't do anything without it being perceived to be disrespectful, racist, biased. You can't do anything. You cannot have an opinion without upsetting someone. But by the same token, all the individual minority groups that somehow, some way, I've sat there and listened to minority groups talk about other minority groups. But when they're together, they're best of friends. But the thing I find to be most humorous about this whole thing is that whenever issues truly come up, how often do you hear anything mentioned about Native Indians? And yet there's no one single group that's been more wronged in this world than Native American Indians. Nobody ever brings that up because they wield very little power. They wield very little power in the world of politics and advertising, virtually none. So they don't matter. So when this kind of stuff, what are you going to say? I mean, I'm not, everybody, can you believe this? Oh, hell yes, I can believe this. Oh, I can unequivocally believe this. Do I agree with it? The problem is logic should tell you right or wrong. In today's world, there is no logical explanation for a lot of things. There really isn't. I mean, how am I supposed to know, seriously, that something that's been done for centuries is a sign of, hey, what's up? Hey, all good. Hey, you okay? I mean, how am I supposed to know that that's now somehow, some way a racist sign? You know, and people say, well, you know, it's been used. Well, yeah, there's gang signs that have been used, too, that if I saw them, I would have no idea what the hell they meant.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's one of these days that, you know, hey, it's just real simple. It's all about the individual. It's all about me and screw Whitey. You put those three together and you just learn how to live with it in this world.
855-282-8255, your thoughts are welcome. I want to hit a few more Mizzou things. I've honestly somewhat neglected a lot of...
Hold on one second, Rock. Hold on one second, TJ. Rock, do you think I'm oversimplifying that?
No, I actually don't.
All right.
I thought what the Cubs did was stupid. But then our entire discussion yesterday ballooned into a bigger discussion about symbolism and all those things, which is
Rock spent an hour telling me I was right. Isn't that crazy? So anyhow,
we listened to different shows yesterday.
So over the weekend, there were 23 people shot in St. Louis. It was largely gang related, to my understanding. But there was one kid in particular, Jalen McKenzie, who already had a Mizzou offer. Was, I believe, an East St. Louis kid, because Darren Sunkett was the East St. Louis head coach, was talking a lot about it, as was Carl Reed, the head coach at Lutheran North, and a lot of other people. He I don't believe he was involved in this. He was hit, to my understanding, by a stray bullet. Bottom line is, 23 people shot. In St. Louis, we know people get shot in St. Louis a lot. In fact, in the area that they map out and tell you is St. Louis, while it is a small pocket and such, it's one of the more, it is the murder capital of the world. So, or the United States, at least. So, we understand this stuff happens, and there's no real good that can come from any of this. It is an absolute tragedy that a kid who had a really bright future, when you're getting offers as an eighth grader, it doesn't always work out, but it generally means you're going to be a fantastic athlete. One of the brighter young stars in our city was shot, and that is disgraceful by us and how we go about things. The only silver lining is that there was an opportunity for the good people of that have succeeded and come out of St. Louis to help out, and two of which have stepped up and done a really good job with that. Ezekiel Elliott has paid for the funeral for the young kid. Marcus Golden has also come in and helped financially as well. Two of the best people, you know, people want to rip on Ezekiel Elliott for some of his little mishaps along the way. Ezekiel Elliott's a great kid. And Marcus Golden is perhaps the best teammate I ever had. So I have never heard one person ever
direct shot at Andrew Wilson out of nowhere.
I've never heard anybody give a negative word, not a single negative word about Marcus Golden. No one.
Well, Jimmy Huer can tell you, we had Marcus Golden, because when we were at 550, obviously we had the rights to Mizzou. We had Marcus Golden in studio for two extended shows. And I have never been more impressed with a collegiate athlete than I was with Marcus Golden. Ever.
So anywhere. So mature beyond his years.
Yeah.
And a kid that, look, he didn't take he had to go to junior college. He didn't take the easy route. And he came out and was an unbelievable teammate to everyone, treats everybody with respect. There was a story on Power Mizzou about how they would always, in his house in college, there was an older lady that lived next to him, and he would run out every time she had groceries. He'd run out of the house and go take her bags inside for her. So the girl, the lady made him cookies one time. He said, I will only accept this if we can go inside your house and hang out while we eat them. Like, as just a cool cat, right? It's like that kind of guy. Anyway, found out about it. A kid that he likely never met. The kid's in eighth grade. Marcus Golden's been in the NFL for, you know, 4 years now, I think, 5 years. So that tells you something about some of the good people here in St. Louis. We have a lot of issues. Obviously, 23 people dying over the weekend is ridiculous. But it did give us an opportunity to outline two of the really great young people that we have produced here. So there you go. Also, a few other things. Missouri baseball has been spectacular, and that is in the SEC, who right now has 10 teams ranked in the top 20. Mizzou's at number 20 right now. Mizzou baseball, Steve Beiser has been spectacular. I mean, he has been so good. And Missouri continues to win. Coming into this week, I don't know what the record is right now. Coming into this week, Missouri was 33-16-1, 12-11-1 in the SEC, and they just continued to roll. So they're going to make the tournament, and credit to him for being really, really good, taking over for Jamison, who had been there for 20 or 30 years. That was a tough thing to do. Also, Missouri softball has been really good. I say really good compared to – they were picked to be the worst team in the SEC, and it was not close. Larissa Anderson, who took over for Aaron Earlywine. Aaron Earlywine, perhaps the best coach at Missouri when I was there in any sport. He was fired under some terms and such. And Larissa Anderson has come in and really taken them. She may be coach of the year in the SEC. So anyway, just a little Missouri roundup for all you guys. A lot of really good stuff going on. And I did want to give a shout out to Marcus Golden there. One, for just being an awesome cat, but two, for taking care of somebody in the city that that likely needed it. So, all right, with that, Rock, play us the bed for Game of Thrones. Before we go into that, because I did not give you any time to do that, we're going to talk about TMA Live, which is going to be at Fenton. So the Hot Shots in Fenton, I should say. Which, look, boys and girls, if you have not been there, I have when I do the Missouri watch parties out in Fenton, that place is spectacular. That is where the TMA Live is. Hot Shots is their pros. They do it right. So TMA Live is brought to you by Anheuser-Busch. It will be taking place Wednesday, May 29th at that Hot Shots in Fenton. Like I said, coming out and partaking fellowship with the show and fellow Lemmings while enjoying an ice-cold Budweiser. There will be some great giveaways as well as food and drink specials. Go check it out. TMA Live, May 29th. All right, Rock. Cue it up, baby. Cue it up. All right, this is the part of the show that we really very much enjoy.
We did.
Wow, I did not read any of the. We have a lot of text right now. I'll try to get to by the end of the show. Look, boys and girls, and John, this has been, to me, they've taken through. This is the seventh season, Rock? Or the eighth season? Eighth season, okay. First seven, I didn't think they made one misstep. Now, you always have, like, makeups you can go as you go, so I'm not sure you judge it like that.
Do you watch the same season 5 and 7?
I did. Right. And what I'm telling you is I don't think it has mattered one way or the other. There's so many directions they can go. The character development for the first 4 seasons was as good as any show ever made. This season, I keep thinking, why didn't they do that? Why didn't they do that? Why didn't they do that? And these are, like, obvious things. The first thing I wanted to see was a midget explosion. I wanted Tyrion to just explode.
Little person.
And in fact, Cersei, who hates Tyrion, who, by the way, I still believe it's going to be unveiled that is not actually their brothers. The theory on this, Rock, I think is a good one, that Tyrion, who looks nothing like Jaime or Cersei, is a Targaryen. And when Tywin Lannister figured that out, he killed the Lannister wife. And she did not actually die during the birth.
Yeah, I don't like that theory.
Somebody fed that to me today. Was not my own thought.
I don't like that theory at all. Tywin would never kill Joanna. That didn't happen. No. Joanna's described in the book as literally the only thing that ever made Tywin smile.
Till she cheated on him with the Mad King.
She didn't cheat on him. She got raped by the Mad King.
That's your theory.
Tywin wouldn't against her. He would hold that against the king, which he did. Hence why he helps essentially murder the king.
Unless.
Come on now.
Unless.
No. Listen.
Like, you could still want to murder the king because he banged your mom.
Yeah, you're not going to.
Jamie.
You're not going to kill the girl. You're not going to kill the mom.
All right, give me this. Give me this. We got to get down to brass business here, and that's this. There are going to be multiple deaths. How many and who die in this episode? We only got 2 left.
I think actually almost all the deaths happen in episode 5. And so actually I think this is going to be a fairly...
5, this one.
Oh, we only got 2 left? Is this 5?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. My bad. Yeah, it's going to be... Yeah, this one's going to be bad.
Bloody.
We thought it was going to be bad 2 weeks ago. This one's actually going to be the one who's bad. I think we lose almost everyone who isn't a main character. I don't think they're killing off the main characters like we all thought they would. I think we really thought they were going to do what they've been doing the entire show and...
Tyrion needs to die
and
now.
Take people away, but I don't think they're going to.
Really? John?
No, I think John dies in the last episode.
I don't know. I mean, I think like many series, you guys wind up overthinking things.
Oh, definitely.
You know, I mean, it's just, it's a phenomenal series. I've enjoyed this season because I don't sit there and try and outthink the writer. I don't think they're an out. I don't try to outproduce the producer. I don't try to outdirect the director. I sit back and watch what has been an absolutely marvelous show through its conclusion. Been some episodes I like, some I didn't like, but the fact of the matter is, it's again about fictitious characters. I mean,
yeah.
It's just you guys wind up taking this thing too serious, and you take all the fun out of it. Now, I will say this much. I would have thought in episode 5, Brienne dies, but now that she's finally found out what it's all about, she's on a mission to start putting some notches in her belt, so she probably survives this episode. But I would have to think that for the most part, you have to have a handful of characters and make it to 6 so that you have, you know, a significant climax to what has been a spectacular series. So I don't think everybody's going to die, but, you know, I mean, I don't, there's no way that the little dude's dying in episode 5. Not going to happen.
Also, just a little thing out there. Watch out for people who are throwing theories out right now. The outlines of the last 2 episodes leaked on Wednesday. And so people who are throwing out theories as, well, this could happen, they might just be throwing out stuff they actually read is happening.
Don't read anything.
So don't read anything and don't be the person who's like, guys, I have this crazy theory you might not see coming, and just say what the actual ending is. Don't be that person.
Oh, that sucks.
Just don't be that person. I have somebody who already tried to do that to me. Don't be that person.
Hey, well, John, Splashback.
All I'm saying is Arian finally got some. Brienne finally got some.
Do you?
I'm just hoping that somehow, some way, that Bran gets just enough energy and a miracle that Bran gets some. I would love to see
Bran already admitted he doesn't really want anymore. He said that last episode.
Well, no, he doesn't want power. That doesn't mean that he doesn't want
enjoyment. He said, I don't really want. That's where it ended. He doesn't want anything. He's like me now.
Okay,
not interested.
Well, when you see a little butt getting hammered in a wheelchair, that's all I'm saying.
How would you see his butt in the wheelchair?
No, this girl, whoever is going to wind up being the one.
Well, he's got a little butt. He's paralyzed. Like, there's no muscle there.
You don't know. He's got 3 eyes, man.
No, he doesn't.
You don't know it.
Splashback Deuce, if Hadley does a circle symbol, Uber Eats shows up with 3 hot dogs.
All I'm telling you is sit back and enjoy it for what it's worth.
I want
to. Stop trying to outthink people.
I can't, though. I'm smarter than these writers, John.
The 3-on-4, John. Hadley is literally making no sense. If he was at a shrink right now, he would be committed. I'm not even joking. He just put together a string of words that barely make up a single clear thought.
Well, why? Because I'm not coming out with these inane comments about the lack of CGI or plot theories. I mean, the fact of the matter is this thing has had more twists and turns than you could possibly imagine. Going back to what was thought to be originally the main character getting his head cut off, to then what were the main factors being killed in the Red Wedding, to suddenly characters being killed at the end of show. I mean, you have no idea. These last 2 episodes, as has been proven before, will probably be as shocking and perplexing as anything we've ever seen, but you can't just wait for
John,
it.
John, there's
that's fair, John, but the difference there is that just in those examples you gave us, John, Ned put in a series of events that was stupid and misthought, so he got his head cut off. Tyrion stood in front of the person who hates him most in the world with an entire armada pointed at him, and he's going to walk away alive. I'm not saying that it's not good. I'm just saying is that the reason why TJ's mad that he didn't get murdered last week is because we've been conditioned that when somebody puts themselves in a position to get obviously murdered, well, then they get obviously murdered. And that hasn't been happening.
That's what you don't understand is that the one thing that Cersei can't and won't walk away from is her bloodline.
She could have killed her
other brother a couple times and didn't.
She tried to murder Tyrion.
Isn't the first time she could have killed Tyrion. This is not the first time. So, I mean, why you guys can't accept that, I'm telling you right now,
John,
I wouldn't be remotely surprised to see Cersei and her 2 brothers sitting on the throne at the end of this show together.
Well, you're out of your mind. John, there's a leftist snowflake named Fred Dryers who's having an aneurysm via the text line. What would your advice to him be?
Well, if he's having an aneurysm? I don't know, dude. I mean, just,
it's kind of a stroke, maybe a heart attack. All the bad things that could happen to you, it is kind of coming through the text line because he is upset that people do not agree with his leftist thinking.
I'm just saying, go eat a hot dog, smoke a dude, chill. It's Friday. Go to the fish fry. Head up to the fish fry, come back, put a little buzz on, enjoy it. Watch a movie, watch some sports. Go find yourself a girl. Hell, it's 2019. Go find yourself a boy. Man, there's too many reasons. Everybody wants to find out why they should be miserable in life. Go find a reason to have fun. Go do the simple things that are enjoyable. You know how many good fish fries they are around the city? You know how many places you can go and get a phenomenal fish dinner tonight? Are you kidding me? It's Friday. It's beautiful out. Blues are about to partake in the Western Conference Finals. You got Houston and Golden State going down tonight. Holy, you got Game of Thrones coming up. That damn show with Bill Hader. That's funny as all get out. There's so much to do. Why can't people stop hating in this world? Why does everyone have to be miserable? Why can't we just sit back? You know what the problem is? There should be a law that forces everyone to have a front porch, a rocking chair, and just sit out on your front porch, enjoy the weather, say hello to your neighbors. That's what we miss. That's what we miss. Rocking chairs and front porches.
John,
what we're missing.
I would sit on the rocking porch complaining about Game of Thrones.
The rocking porch.
The rocking porch, yes. That's where you put the rocking chair, is on your rocking porch.
Why would you need a chair if you had a rocking porch?
That's a fair point. Well, because the porch itself isn't rocking. It's for the purpose of rocking upon it.
I mean, the simplicity of life has been lost on an entire generation that gets all upset over everything. Gets upset over everything. Just chill. Hakuna Matata, people. Hakuna Matata.
Which brings me to my favorite part of any movie ever made, and it is when Rafiki comes up to Simba and bashes him over the head, and he says, "Why'd you do that?" He said, "It's in the past. It doesn't matter." And I think that's how we should treat our lives, boys. Mm-hmm. On that note, go Blues, go Cardinals, go Sansa. I have now joined Team Sansa. I believe she will be on the Iron Throne, and Danny will perhaps die even this episode. Danny will, without a doubt, die.
Go to the fish fry. Go to the library. Why doesn't anyone go to the library anymore? You know how many phenomenal books you can sit there and read at the library?
Oh, the St. Peter's Lemming is chiming in right about this, John. He said, "I hate that I have to listen to Hadley's rants."
Well, you don't have to, but you want to. That's the problem.
The Triple Lakes Club Pro says, "Why am I not surprised that Fat John just told us that everything fun to do today has to do with eating, drinking, and sitting on a couch watching TV?"
See, there, I brought it all together. It's a nice little package.
Ben in Safe Peter says, "Hadley, your neighbors go inside because of you." Maybe they didn't have a proper rocking porch. Rock?
Yep, that's true.
All right, on that note, we got to go. Thank you all for hanging out. We'll be back Monday. The Cam Jansen program coming up 5 to 6. Next, though, Andy Strickland and Hockey Sense. See ya.
Hakuna Matata!